Welcome to Season 8, Episode 6 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Hooters is your spot to catch all the games this season. Try our world-famous wings, delicious seafood, stacked sandwiches, salads, and more. I thank Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We will be at Hooters for live in-person drafts for the first time since 2019. If you are interested in playing in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League, there is no entry fee to play. Whether you are a past player or you would be a new player, email me at wright.todd@yahoo.com. Tell me a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your fantasy acumen, your overall interest, what city you're from, because you will have to draft in person to be a part of one of our very unique, special, rapid-fire fantasy drafts. And we're back at Hooters, which I'm excited about for the first time since 2019. Date, time, and location to be announced. Now, as some of you have already found out, some have reached out to me already saying, hey, I'd like to play. Some previous players, some new players. I have responded by saying to a number of those players where the location is for Hooters and the date and time. So if you want to reach out and show interest in participating, remember, there is no entry fee, and you'd like to be part of a podcast league and kind of be part of what I talk about this season on the podcast, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. I will respond to you, and we'll tell you more about what we have going. And if you can be there at that date, time, and location, then you're going to have some fun with us this season in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Episode 6, since we sit here on a Tuesday, is when this podcast will post, one every weekday for the entire month of August. I'm recording these in advance. So I'm recording this the weekend before the Tuesday where you're hearing this, just to stay ahead of the game because we're doing so many episodes. One of the things that I want to do for the rest of this week, and I'm not sure how I'm going to break it down, is I went back to last year's production, and I'm going to take the top players in order, working from the top down, and overall points, look at their production. We're going to talk about them. So I'm not sure how many we'll do for this podcast, and then we'll pick up where we leave off in the Wednesday podcast, and then we'll pick up where we leave off in the Thursday podcast, and probably through the Friday podcast, unless I feel it's worth rolling over to the next week. So I'm not sure how many I'm going to do now, but this is based on my 21st century standard scoring settings. I talked about this in the last podcast. I do not play pay-per-view. PPR, it is outdated. It in a National Football League world where the running backs continue to be less and less significant, PPR was created when running backs were so impactful to balance them out. It's not the case anymore. So everything I do point-wise is based on standard scoring, which also includes standard yardage with fractions, where basically every rushing yard, every receiving yard is worth 0.1. And as that adds up to 10 yards, if a running back has a 10-yard run, it's worth a point. If a wide receiver has a 10-yard catch, it's worth 10 points. That's how you earn your points, just as they would be contributing to help their own team. Don't want to go back. You want to hear my reasoning for all this, go to the last podcast. Go to episode 5, which posted yesterday. But this is my standard scoring settings that we use for my leagues. Number one, and there's some asterisks here because the Bills-Bengals game was canceled last year. So Josh Allen probably, almost certainly, is going to finish the year as the number one player in my league again, had he played a full Monday night game in week 17. He did not, so technically he's number two. Number one is Patrick Mahomes in overall scoring. At 300, I had him at 381.4 points. He threw for 41 touchdowns last year. I don't see any other quarterback that threw for that many. He ran for 4 touchdowns. So Patrick Mahomes accounted for 45 touchdowns last year, 41 via the air, 4 on the ground. Total passing yards, 5250, which is amazing considering Warren Sharp breaks these things down, among others, very well. Most of Patrick Mahomes' passes last year, especially without Tyreek Hill, didn't go more than 5 yards. A significant percentage did not go more than 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. It was setting up catch and run for the Chiefs. And he ends up throwing for 5,250 yards, the most of any quarterback in the National Football League last year. He ran for 358. So those were Mahomes' numbers, and I think we'd all agree he's in the prime of his career. We have no tangible injury concerns going into this season. There are some changes on the offensive line in front of him. Most notably, Donovan Smith goes from Tampa Bay to Kansas City. Bucks fans will say, well, that can't be good. Mahomes gets rid of the ball quickly. He moves quickly. Tom Brady dealt with that with Donovan Smith. The problem with Donovan Smith was penalties in Tampa Bay and also too high of a contract that the Bucks didn't want to carry for this particular year because they were in salary cap hell going into this season. So, Mahomes returns Travis Kelce. There are some changes in his receiving core, but let's face it, he has produced at a very high level for 5 years now, as the Chiefs have hosted 5 straight AFC title games. He has the same head coach. He loses Eric Bieniemy, and there are some who will say that might not be a bad thing, considering Andy Reid was doing most of the work anyway, or Mahomes had options within those play calls to do his own thing. You know, we learned when the Chiefs had that win in the playoffs over the Buffalo Bills, how he and Kelce literally drew up something in the dirt. There's just not anything that screams drop-off for Mahomes this season, coming off being number one in fantasy football overall production last year. So Josh Allen was number two with one less game, finished less than 5 points overall in my scoring settings behind Patrick Mahomes at 376.97. Allen threw for 35 touchdowns, 6 less than Mahomes, ran for 7, 3 more than Mahomes, passing yards, 4,283 for Josh Allen, rushing yards, 762. And the great part about Josh Allen's rushing yards is he often gets big chunks, right? Any Bills fan will tell you that a typical Josh Allen run is on 3rd and 8, and Allen drops back, doesn't like what he sees, tucks it under, bolts for the sideline, gets the first down, gets out of bounds or slides, and that's a big chunk of yardage. So much of that comprising the 762. The Bills as a team have been trending backwards, still very successful, but they've gone from playing in the AFC title game to not to losing in the divisional round, and then last year struggling to at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. So it's not as drastic of a move backwards. Still a lot of wins there, a lot to like there. I don't like that Sean McDermott is a head coach with a defensive background. There's nothing really tangible he can do for Josh Allen and the offense because of his defensive background. There's a lot that Sean McDermott brings to the table, but in the last 3 years, he's the only coach with a defensive background to even make it as far as a conference championship game. Much like Mahomes, there's no real injury concern here as we speak with Allen. He still has Diggs. There's still talk about adding a running back. They didn't add DeAndre Hopkins. He has a new weapon. The Bills traded up ahead of the Cowboys to grab Dalton Kincaid. There's a lot of optimism about what Kincaid can do in the Bills offense. So you can be very, very optimistic on Josh Allen, even if you're not optimistic about the Bills, finally breaking through and going to the Super Bowl, just because the AFC is loaded with so many good teams, and the arrow isn't exactly pointing up for the Bills. I know their fans hope that this year is the breakthrough year, but there's a lot of tough matchups in the AFC. Number three overall from last year was Jalen Hurts. He could have ended up number one had he not sat for a couple of games with what we were told was an injury, but you wonder, the Eagles had a big lead in the NFC East. You wonder if the Cowboys had been closer in the NFC East, if Hurts plays one or both of those games that he sat near the end of the season and finishes as the number one overall performer in my scoring settings. He still finished with 357.37 points. He threw for 22 touchdowns. Some would be surprised by that number being, relatively speaking, low. It's only five more than Justin Fields. And I'll just give you one that it's less than that may, and it's only five more than Lamar Jackson, who played 12 games. So, but Jalen Hurts threw for 22 touchdowns, ran for 13 touchdowns, many of them the rugby-style sneak that the Eagles run so well, and the NFL did not decide to put limitations on, restrictions on, or ban outright via their competition committee meetings in the offseason. So Hurts accounted for 35 touchdowns in 15 games, and you compare that to Mahomes, 45 in 17 games, Allen, 42 in 16 games. Jalen Hurts, even though he only threw for 22 touchdowns, he still threw for 3,701 yards. That's only, and with what, that's one game less than Josh Allen, and he was 582 yards passing less than Josh Allen. So yeah, Josh Allen per game threw for more yards, but on average per game, it's not a lot. So the yardage was definitely there. 760 rushing yards for Jalen Hurts. So how about that? Josh Allen rushed for more yards. Like I said, the big chunks with Josh Allen, those third down bolts on third and long to keep the drive going. And what do we know Jalen Hurts for? The short yardage run. Now, granted, I don't have his carries listed here in the notes I made. Not all of his runs were 1 or 2 yards, but he still ran for 760. But I think that's a good contrast with Josh Allen, because you think of Josh Allen for the big chunks of yardage, you think of Jalen Hurts for the shorter yards, and that's why Jalen Hurts, almost twice as many rushing touchdowns as Josh Allen, both very good, Allen, 762 rushing, Hurts, 760. Joe Burrow comes in fourth. Burrow, obviously, part of that canceled Monday night game, so he only had a 16-game sample size to produce the fourth highest overall number at 326.87. Burrow, just like Josh Allen, for 16 games threw the exact same number of touchdowns, 35. He ran for 5. 4475 passing yards for Burrow, slightly more than Allen for the same amount of games. Rushing yards, not as many, 257, but still the 5 rushing touchdowns, getting you points there. So Burrow was number 4. And you know what? So let me stop there. Jalen Hurts does have new offensive coordinator this year. His previous offensive coordinator goes to Indianapolis to take the head coaching job, but it's Sirianni who has the offensive background and did much of the work, the tangible stuff with Jalen Hurts last year. Yes, there's a new number one running back in Philly. Actually, there's a couple new running backs in Philly, but A.J. Brown is still there. Devontae Smith has another year and came on big last year. Dallas Goedert is still there. That offensive line still looks pretty damn good. So reason to be optimistic about Jalen Hurts. No real injury concerns. He has a new contract. And with Joe Burrow, obviously, we do have concerns. Because very early in camp, Burrow in a drill was just evading some pressure. And as he scooted around in the pocket, as he is so good at doing, he just pulled up. And he injured his calf, and Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, said the next day to the media it would be several weeks. And when he was asked what several weeks meant, he said several weeks means several weeks. There are some who believe Burrow will not be ready for the beginning of the regular season. I have no hard and fast info on the length of the Burrow injury and how long he will be out. But at this point, you have nothing to go on that Burrow won't play enough games to be worthwhile as your QB1. And it's not like the Bengals have gone out and made a trade for someone else. Trevor Siemian is the backup in Cincinnati. And I would think if they knew at this point that Burrow was going to miss significant time, they'd probably do something else outside of Siemian, and they haven't done that. But we will acknowledge there is concern about Burrow because of the calf injury early in camp. We'll stop at 5 because I'm trying to keep podcasts a little bit shorter. The 5th highest overall performer in my scoring settings last year was Trevor Lawrence. Played all 17 games. Really came on late. And I know there's a lot of optimism about the Jaguars this year. They put up a damn good fight in the divisional round at Kansas City last season. You put Lawrence with Doug Peterson, Super Bowl winning head coach for the Eagles, another year with Etienne. They add Calvin Ridley off the gambling suspension. Evan Engram seems happy. You know, Christian Kirk had a good year. Zay Jones had a good year. Zay's still there. 286.2 overall points for Trevor Lawrence last year. I don't sense there's a lot of concern about Trevor Lawrence not continuing to push forward as a productive quarterback. He threw for 25 touchdowns last year. That seems low, right? I think we could expect that to go up. He ran for 5, so he accounted for 30 touchdowns last year. He does need to hold on to the ball better. Remember, he had 4 fumbles in a game against the Eagles, early October last year. He threw for 41-13. He ran for 291. But yeah, 5th best quarterback in fantasy last year, and no reason to believe that he can't put up similar numbers or improve on them this year. You would think maybe more than 25 touchdowns passing this year. I would think that number could go up. All right, we'll stop there. So that's the top five. And we'll do at least five in the next podcast, looking back at last year, looking at what's going on this year, just kind of comparing and starting to think about, are these players that you want on your team? And if they're available, are you going to take them with that particular draft pick when they are on the board if you want to do that? I am not going to have much problem or surprise if quarterbacks go in the first round this year. So don't be surprised either. Look, we just did the top five in my scoring settings from last year. And the difference between Mahomes at number one and Trevor Lawrence at number five was almost 100 points. Almost 100 point difference. So as good as Trevor Lawrence was, think about it this way. As good as he was, and I'm doing quick math in my head here. So over a span of 17 weeks, they both played 17 games. So 17, 34, 51, 68, 85. Basically, on average, Mahomes is getting you 5+ points more per game than Trevor Lawrence. Even though Lawrence is QB5 from last year and number 5 overall, having Mahomes got you 5+ points more on average per week. And we all remember those very close games we lose in head-to-head leagues, right? So that's a difference. That's a 5-point pop right there. Josh Allen compared to Trevor Lawrence, the difference was over 90 points. It's almost 5 points per week. That's the equivalent almost, right, of an extra rushing touchdown, which we all covet, or an extra receiving touchdown. Those are valuable points. So it just shows what you get, and you say, well, I can wait to get my quarterback. Yeah, you can. But if you're playing someone who has that higher producing quarterback, you could say, well, that's a push. It's not really. There is a statistical and numerical difference there that could be the reason why you lose in a particular week. I'll stop there. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com for your comments, or if you're interested in participating in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast draft this year. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is, of course, presented by Hooters. Check our seafood specials, $19.83 for a pound of crab legs, and great prices on buffalo and steamed shrimp. Congratulations, by the way, to Hooters, celebrating their 40th anniversary. That's episode 6 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.